All right, so Ephesians chapter 4 is where we are at. Ephesians chapter 4. And we're going to really start to get in now into the Christian walk. Ephesians chapter 4. We'll start reading in verse 22. That ye put off the former conversation, the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, that ye put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Let's pray. Lord, we just thank you for this day, Lord, as we look to your word, Lord, that we truly do set the things of the world aside, that we'll be tuned to you, that we'll pay attention, that we'll just listen to the Holy Spirit, that it'll have free work, free course in our hearts, and that we'll truly come away, truly changed, and be more like you. So, Lord, we do thank you for your word. We just ask for the blessing upon it as we look to it and reap from it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So this whole idea before we get off, this is kind of where we ended as well last week. But the whole idea of put off, put on. He started out by saying about the Gentiles, we're not to walk like they walked. And we looked at how we once were. We were spiritually dead. We walked according to the course of this world. And that's not no longer who we are. So this idea of put off, put on, it's not saying that you need to put off the old man and then put on the new man in the sense that we do the whole action. Because keep in mind, what happened? Who did the action? Did we go to Christ and say, hey, I'm ready to be righteous and I am righteous now. I'm not sinning anymore, so Lord, here I am. I'm ready to just on my own be right now. We can't do that. For all sin and come short of glory of God. There's none righteous, no, not one. So what happened? Well, we remember that the very righteousness of God is displayed in his Son, Lord Jesus Christ, his faithfulness. And that anyone who believes in his death, his burial, his resurrection, truly trusts Christ as his personal Lord and Savior, at that moment, it's imputed to you. You're declared righteous. You, Christ, has taken care of you. He's the one that made you new. Look to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. We'll just read something there. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Verse 17. I hate to just read that verse, so we'll start at 14. For the love of Christ constraineth us, because we thus judge that if one died for all, then all were dead, and that he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again. Sounds similar to what Paul's talking about here in chapter 4 in Ephesians. Wherefore, henceforth, know we no man after the flesh, yea, though we have known Christ after the flesh, yet now henceforth we know him no more. We know the Lord Jesus Christ is a risen God, a risen Lord, a risen Savior. And that power, when Paul said to know him in the power of his resurrection, that's what he strove at. What does that mean? Because he also made mention in Corinthians that this life would be a miserable life if Christ did die a sinless death but never rose from the dead. But we have a God that's risen. So we have true hope, true glory. But anyhow, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. A new creation, the Lord Jesus Christ. And going back to Ephesians, so we're back in our same chapter. The Lord Jesus Christ is the one that did that transaction. We think of back in 2:15, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in the ordinances, for to make in himself of twain one new man, so making peace. The whole idea of what nation of Israel was, but there was no more now Jew or Gentile. There's no difference. The Lord Jesus Christ took care of it all. So now, that moment we believe, there's this one new man. There's this new creation. There's this new body. And we've talked about that going through Ephesians, this church, the body of Christ. He did all that work. So this new creation is new man. We do not perform the action of becoming the new man. We simply believe in that moment God made us new. So this idea is actually, so Paul's saying that since we have put on the new man, that whole work of identification, We are to walk in this new life. We are to be renewed. We are to continually clean out the house, our body, and refurnish it with righteousness, the things of God. Turn to Romans chapter 6, which I started getting into today, but wanted to bring it up now. So Romans chapter 6, just another thought of what it means to put on the new man, what Paul's talking about, that we actually have put on the new man already. We have put off the new man. Christ took care of that. He's the one that made us a new creation. So now, because of that, and this, I think, helps us to really know what Paul's saying here in chapter 6 of Romans. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Obviously, God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? And what's he talking about? Similar to what Paul's talking about here, that we've put on the new man. We've put off the old man. What is that? It's a complete identification into Christ's death, his burial, resurrection. Know ye not that so many of us were baptized into Jesus Christ, were baptized into his death. Therefore we are buried with him in baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. He became sin for us, but what did he do? He rose. A glorified Lord and Savior. We are identified in that. We're identified to his death. The death that we should have died. Our payment for sin is death, is hell. But the Lord Jesus Christ died our death. But in a way, we died that death too, because we are fully identified. That's not to take away from the finished work of Christ, but to get you to understand that these verses are saying that we have full identity in Christ's finished work the moment we trust in that finished work. For everything. No works of us. No works of what I could do. We're literally helpless. The only thing we can do is recognize the truth and say, I believe. And if we do, we are identified. For we have been planted together in the likeness of his death. We shall also be in the likeness of his resurrection. Knowing that our old man, and Paul maybe, if you just got done reading about that, is crucified with him. That the body of sin might be destroyed and that we henceforth should not serve sin. For he that is dead is freed from sin. It's amazing. So we have already, God did that. We've put off that old man. The moment we believed, it was crucified, it was taken care of. Now, that's not to insert the thought that, oh, I'm sinless now. No, that doesn't mean you're going to be never sin again and you're perfect from here on out. We'll get to that. But scoot down here to verse 11. Likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal bodies, that it should obey it in the lust thereof. Neither yield your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. Again, amazing. Our before state, and Romans talks about this. All sin comes short of glory of God. There's none righteous, no, not one. But now, fast forward to that moment we put our faith in Christ's faithfulness. We're permanently identified. We're declared righteous. Now we're told, you're dead to that. You were dead to the Lord Jesus Christ at one time. Now you're dead to the flesh. Now you're alive unto Christ. Now stay dead to your flesh. Don't live any longer in there. You're freed from it. Now we have the full ability to live righteous, to actually produce righteousness. And that very verse in Romans, or sorry, back to Ephesians chapter 4, that when Paul says, put off concerning that former conversation, that old man which is corrupt according to deceitful lust, be renewed in the spirit of your mind, that you put on the new man, which is after God, is what? God, after God, is created in righteousness and true holiness. So Paul's saying, okay, don't be like the Gentiles. That was your before state. You've put on. The Lord Jesus Christ is put on. You're a new creation. You're something different. Absolutely 180 different. A complete turnaround. Sin going heaven to hell. Completely turned around. Now you're holy. Declared righteous before God the Father. Now live. Don't live as the Gentiles. You have full power to do what's right. You can have power over the sin in your life. So start living it. So that's what Paul's basically saying here. Since we are created, since we are created in righteousness and true holiness, we now need to apply or renew. He uses that word renew, Romans 12:1. For the sake of time, I won't turn there, but that idea of renewing your mind, basically to renovate your mind constantly every day, getting out, finding out more and more of yourself that you need to quit doing and start furnishing it with what the Lord Jesus Christ has to say and what God's word has to say. So every day to renew your mind, as he said, in the spirit of your mind. So do that, renew yourself. Don't just be a vessel that sits on the shelf, but a vessel of honor. 2 Timothy 2:20 talks about that, that there are vessels of honor and dishonor. The last thought is, think of a baseball team. In Christ, that has declared us righteous, we are a new creation, created in righteousness, true holiness. We can never change who we are now. We see that Paul, even at the end of Romans, that he's fully persuaded. Nothing, death, life, and all through Paul's epistles, he talks about that we're eternally his. We can't change that state. Sure, we may choose to live as the world does. And Paul says, don't walk as the other Gentiles walk. He wouldn't tell us to do that if you have the ability to walk as the other Gentiles, or walk back in that death that you've been saved from. So don't do that. Step up to the plate and be who you are. Think of baseball. We're on a team. We're the church, the body of Christ. You have that jersey on, the church, the body of Christ, just a baseball player has their jersey, they're sitting in the dugout, sitting on the bench. But what's Christ telling us to do? What's Paul telling us to do? To step up to the plate now. That he isn't calling the church, the body of Christ, to be couch potatoes, that just want to sit on the couch all day and maybe listen to God's word and turn it on, listen to it and stuff like that. No. He's basically saying to step up to the plate. You've been called to do something now, to live in this righteousness, to be like Christ. So that's what it's saying. So step up to the bait, be who you are. Don't be a bench warmer or a Christian couch potato. That's what it means to put off and to put on. And now he starts it. And you got to keep all that in mind. Paul already alluded, he always constantly throws us back a little bit, saying, remember who you once were, and everything Christ did for you. Because it, just that alone should motivate us and say, Lord, what do you have for me to do and be different? That should motivate us enough. But unfortunately, there's times where we do stumble, we fall, we want to choose to keep this sin in our life or that, and things happen. So Paul now says, look, here's who you are. Start acting like it. Start being. So now he goes into these characteristics of what we should be doing now. In mind, I ask you, only we as believers can do. The first aspect is lying. Now, yes, unbelievers, they can lie and not lie. Same with believers. But why I say only believers can truly put off lying. Then we'll get to that in a moment. Actually, that's way down the list here. So put away. In verse 25, wherefore? So after he just got done saying, what it means that you're this new creation. Don't walk as the other Gentiles walk. You were created in holiness or righteousness and true holiness. Now, putting away lying. In verse 25 of Ephesians. Wherefore, putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor. For we are all members one of another. Keep that in mind. That we are the church of body of Christ. We covered that. We're knit together. Our nervous system, as I describe it, is the Holy Spirit. Our whole blood vessels and everything, the very blood of Christ, that mind, the head is the Lord Jesus Christ, but we're all members one of another. So everything we do affects each and every one of us, whether you believe it or not. So keep that in mind. So lying, they're putting away lying, speaking truth every man. Put away means to cast aside, put off. The point being is that it's no longer part of you. So let it go. Don't do it anymore. This lying has an idea of not what we think, so to speak, of lying, so to speak. I just said so to speak three times now. But lying, falsehood, deception, fabrication, white lies. That includes this whole compass of things. It isn't just the words we say, or you could stand before an earthly judge and say, well, here's the words I said, judge. And the judge looks at it and says, yeah, your words are true. But you know what? Those words could have been used to deceive somebody and made them believe something they shouldn't have believed because that's what you wanted. That's lie. In God's eyes, that's that falsehood. That's that deception. So keep that in mind when we're talking about this. It isn't just, oh, well, I really didn't lie. Kids here, I know, you know, I'll use one example, and I know with adults, they know what white lies are. But I'm thinking about my kids, and I think they might have done this once or twice. So I'm like, tattletale. But you say, hey, did you take care of the cats? Give them their water, clean the kennel before bed. And I know it didn't happen like this. This is an example. But hey, they could easily say, yeah, sure I did, knowing that they didn't. Knowing that, yeah, dad might go down later on after they're in bed and check it out, make sure they did what they're supposed to do. So in their mind, they're like, oh, we still need to get ready for bed. I still have enough time to get down there, take care of it, and dad will never know that I lied to him. So that little white lie, knowing I was going to go take care of it, but I'm just going to say I did because I know future me is going to do it. Well, that's a white lie example. So just so you kids understand what white lies are. And we do that all the time. There's times where we'll mislead. And let's get to that. So speak truth. So keep that on. Speak truth. Specifically, he's talking first towards the body of Christ. But speak truth amongst ourselves. And just quickly go over to Zechariah, right there near the, just before the, I don't want to call it, it's the end of the Old Testament. But Zechariah, even though that page says the Old Testament isn't inspired. But anyway, Zechariah chapter 8. This, you can also have the other reference, Jeremiah 42:18. But think about this. Nation of Israel is supposed to be what? It was God's chosen people. But weren't all the nations going to be blessed? We were just reading this for before bed. We've been just reading through the Bible and talking about it. But those promises to Abraham and stuff like that. All the nations were going to be blessed because of Abraham. Of all the whole world. But look here, 13. Zechariah 8:13. And it shall come to pass that as they were a curse among the heathen, as ye were a curse among the heathen. Who was a curse to the heathen? Israel and Judah, the nation of Israel. So later on he talks about, you know, that God will be faithful, he will bring about, and don't have time to talk about it all, but the fact is, they disobeyed God. And he specifically points out that no longer lie, no longer deceive, and be deceitful among each other. Why? Because they were a direct testimony to the rest of the world. And when they failed, that directly impacted the rest of the world. The same for the church of body of Christ, that when we, how we treat each other, the things we say, that's why he says put away that deceit, that lie, that falsehood. Why? Because we're a testimony. It doesn't just affect us, but the rest of the world will see. You call yourself a Christian, or another Christian might look at you and say, I don't want to be part of that body of Christ, because if you're going there every Sunday and you're acting the way you did, that's a direct result of lying. So that's why he says to keep in mind that we're a direct testimony to the people around us. The effects of lying go far beyond just me and the person that's receiving my lie. Keep that in mind. And I've said that a lot today. So keep in mind as we progress and that we can actually grieve the Holy Spirit. We can grieve God. And then we'll get to that at the end of this chapter that says, grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. You know, our lies will hurt us. Our lives will hurt the receiver and all the whole body of Christ. But it also grieves God. That causes grief for him. And keeping all this in mind, point this all out because we know we shouldn't lie. But understanding the full scope of what it means, where lies lead to. Sure, we can might slip up and say, tell a little white lie or whatnot. But it only gets worse. It'll only keep going and just compound the whole problem. Lying and falsehood, as I said, compounds the problem. Problems are hard enough to deal with when you have to confront someone with truth and speak truth. And we already read that we're supposed to speak the truth in love. So don't start by any type of lie, any type of deceitment. Remember, white lies, misleading, etc. are all lies. Just because the words are not lies does not mean you cannot still deceive. Running out of time. The devil, which is called the world's father, is a liar, and there is no truth in him. That's John 8:44. Remember that he can do, or what he can do. 2 Corinthians 11:15 says that Satan and his cohort can appear what? Ministers of righteousness. They can appear like that. But yet the word of God also says that he is a liar, and there is no truth in him. So you could go through speaking words of truth, but still be a liar, still be a deceiver. It's not just the words you say, but your whole intent, your whole thought process is what I believe Paul is talking about. That whenever he says put away, it doesn't say, oh, just put away what's coming out of your mouth, but you can still keep it in your heart. No, put it away from you completely, the whole new man that you are now. These lies can be, they're temporary. They're made to cover up something temporary. They're made for just the present. But eventually, what happens? They come to light. Truth can be for the present, but then it lasts forever. Jeremiah 17:9, why do we lie? Our hearts are deceitful above all things, desperately wicked. Who can know it? I put down there, thank you, Lord, and there's a minor spelling issue there. Thank you, Lord, for the work you have done inside of me, but help me to never lose sight of my flesh. I mean, we still battle that flesh and what it can do. Because if you give in, it'll take over. So why do we lie? Sometimes you just purposely lie to hurt people. Sometimes you lie because you're insecure of who we are. And I say it because how many times do you realize when you confront any situation that you have the very power of God? He lives within you. So when you step out in truth, who better to have on your side? He's the only person you need on your side. So think about that. So sometimes we lie because we're insecure, or you don't want to upset someone or disappoint someone. We still have the flesh, et cetera, et cetera. The very things that we fear, keep this in mind. We do those old white lies. We fear, we don't want to upset. We don't want to discourage. We want to keep the peace. These very things that we fear end up being the very consequences of our sins for not telling the truth. They end up coming to fruition. So I was afraid to upset that person, so I do a little white lie, or I turn things around, or bent, deceived, whatnot. Well, that's going to come to fruition. The very thing that you feared of why you didn't share truth and love will come around anyhow. It'll be even worse. Keep that in mind. That's my word or phrase for the day. Keep that in mind. The results of lying, again, that hurt, the very things that you were the reasons why you wanted to lie sometimes, maybe outright lying or because you thought you had a good reason, or ends up being the results of lying. That hurt, that disappointing, letting someone down, taking them for granted, broken trust, discord, etc. Some of the very things that we fear, like I said, they actually become the results of lying. Lying brings not only the spiritual problems, and there's plenty of scientific things for this too. Anything that you do that's ungodly brings about physical consequences at all. It hurts your health. It hurts your mental state. It brings that insecurity. It brings depression and all these anxiety and so many other things. Sure, there are true medical problems and chemical imbalances, but living an ungodly life, hiding from truth, and wanting to shy away from it, affects you mentally and spiritually and as well as physically. So if you be found a liar once, then you become questionable. You found unfaithful, you become that boy who cried wolf. Unfortunately, when you look around today, it seems like people ignore that. You can become callous to those things. And you see that when people get reelected for 40 years or whatnot, and they keep saying the same thing that never comes about in their own district or city and things like that. So, side note. So trust God's word, for it is truth. What does he say? And this would be the last, turn to Proverbs, this would be the last place we turn. We'll close in this chapter. Proverbs, chapter 12. just read a couple verses. Proverbs 12:22 says, lying lips are an abomination to the Lord. Abomination can also mean like disgusting to the Lord. But they that deal truly are his delight. Lying lips, abomination, disgusting lip, but truth is a delight to him. What was the other verse here? Proverbs 6. This is a common portion of scripture people like to bring up. Proverbs 6:16. These six things doth the Lord hate, yea, seven are abomination to him. But look at how I describe this word lying here, this whole falsehood and lies and things like that. A proud look, a lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that defies us, a wicked imagination, feet that be swift to running the mischief, a false witness that speaketh lies, and he that soweth discord among the brethren. Another example. Then the last one, Proverbs 14:25. A true witness delivereth souls, but a deceitful witness, what? Speaketh lies. And that's powerful. A true witness delivers souls, but a deceitful witness speaketh lies. The words we say are powerful. And not just the words that come out, but that whole intent, the whole motive behind it all. Are you being governed by the Holy Spirit? Are you being governed by your flesh? That hurt of truth is temporary. The hurt of lies can be literally forever. Especially when you think about truth in situations of how many people come into your life that the Lord brings here and there that you have the opportunity to witness to share the love of the Lord Jesus Christ and what he did for their eternal life. And we just ignore it, let it go, knowing. So words could truly deceive or not. I don't want to confront them, so I'll just say, okay, it's fine. They can have eternal consequences of things we say and things we don't say. So don't spend so much time, as we talked about, with these white lies. And yes, I'm not focusing so much on lies that we purposely, knowing full-heartedly, I just lied to hurt them. I'm focusing on ones that we have to sometimes take the time to examine ourselves and realize, what I did there really wasn't truthful. That was kind of deceitful. Well, don't do it. Put it off. So sometimes we spend so much time trying to keep peace with those white lies, that this falsehood. Sometimes we're actually fighting, spend all our time fighting that disappointment, being let down or letting someone down, being a liar, hurt, all this stuff that we take for granted. Instead, why not fight for truth that takes care of those fears? Yes, there's that aspect of the Lord Jesus Christ, like in Romans, 2 Corinthians 5, where we walk by faith, not by sight. There's times where we might be afraid. I'm presented with an opportunity to say, I'm either going to confront that with truth or somehow get around it. But whenever we stand and step out in faith and truth, then we can fight for what's real. We can fight for real life. And I trust that that's what we'll start doing more of every day. So lies, God does hate. He calls it an abomination, something that's disgusting. This lying is falsehood. Even though we may speak a lie word for word, or we don't speak a lie word for word, if your intent is so, God sees that. It doesn't matter what man might think your words meant. God knows what you really meant. So my last point here is, may we, in deed and word, speak truth, for all that is said directly affects all of us, the whole body of Christ, not just you and the person you're going to, but the whole body of Christ, including our head, the Lord Jesus Christ, grieves the Holy Spirit. For all that is said directly affects all of us, for we are all members one of another. This part of our walk in the following, as we progress through Ephesians, is keeping the unity of the Spirit. When we are walking in the Spirit, the very power of God is at work. And if we're not walking in the Spirit and we're walking in the flesh, the very power of the flesh, what we no longer actually are, but you wanting to pick back up those chains that want to stay in that spiritual death and not say, I'm already delivered from it, then that very power happens. The works of the flesh happen. And if you stick around for Sunday school, we will go over that. It happened to line up for where we're at today. So I do challenge you today to speak. Put off the lie. Speak the truth. And as we have already saw too in Ephesians, you speak the truth in love. And that whole lying, the whole falsehood, the whole idea that it's not just your words, it's everything that you think, that you conceive of, your intents, your desires. That's what really matters. The challenge for all of us. And as we can keep going through, we are going to be challenged. There's going to be a lot of things that now we're told to start doing and not be doing. And we all need work in each of these aspects. We all still have some type of lie and deceit that we do that we need to either go back and say sorry for to somebody or just say, you know what, I need to stop doing that part of my life. So let God's word work in your life. Don't immediately say, well, I'm not a liar. Your words might not always be that way. But examine yourself and make sure it's out of you and don't take heed to it. Lord, just thank you for this day. Thank you for your word. That truly is true. It's absolute truth that we can rely on and trust it. Lord, most importantly, we thank you for your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, who stepped out of glory for us. And that very simple faith that if we just say, Lord, I believe. Lord, if we truly, truly believe that Christ's faithfulness paid our sin debt in full, that he truly died for us, shed his blood for us, was buried and rose again. And we just simply come to you saying, I believe. That we at that moment are saved for all eternity. And we thank you for that free gift of salvation. Lord, believers here, Lord, as we look to your word, that we continue to be molded and shaped more into your image, that we become more and more of your body, the church, the body of Christ, that we truly love each other, that we truly be a testimony for the whole world to see. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.